Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
Today we're going to be, this is a, from the get-go, an active service. This is not going to be, we're just going to worship for a bit and then somebody's going to preach. You guys are involved today. Is that good? All right, good. I heard this said the other day and I thought, this is brilliant and we need to understand this. You know, for a long time, we always thought as church is a hospital. This is what it was said. Church should be a hospital. How many agree with that? Amen. And a boot camp. Amen. Yeah. And a fueling station. Amen. What happens if you're only a hospital? You're unbalanced. Perfect. Okay, what else? If the church is only a hospital, you only have sick people. And if you need to stay in church, you have to be what? Sick. But how many know that God's supposed to make you whole and healed, right? So when you move, and I'd like to add something. Church should be a hospital and physiotherapy, right? Because when you get in an accident, I know somebody right now who was in an accident, and he's going to go from having surgery in the hospital to physical therapy, where he learns to, he's not sick anymore, but he's learning to reuse the muscles. And then if he wanted to go to that next level, and I know he's a biker actually, that chances are as soon as he's done physical therapy and as soon as he can, he'll be on his bike. He'll be in boot camp, right? And I'm sure knowing who he is, he'll need to refuel at times to be able to do what he's going to do, okay? So I love that. So the church should be all those things, a hospital, it should be therapy, it should be a boot camp, and it should be fueling station. Today, I started this last week in my opening. We're going to talk about praise. We've been in a series called Foundations. How many know that praise is a foundation? Yeah. And I'm going to give some studies later on about Harvard. Harvard has even come out, believe it or not, Harvard used to be a Christian organization. It's taken some turns, but I was looking up some different studies that have been done and articles written. Harvard came out and even said that it is good to be grateful and to praise something. And they said this, even if it's a higher power, they couldn't say God, or put your attention on other people. They're praising in the hallway. They're having some fun. That's good. But isn't that interesting that they realize that maybe there is something about getting your eyes off yourself and praising, right? So I brought some people up. We're going to just actively have some fun for a second. I brought a whole group of people up. I'm going to start over here. I want to praise them, and then I want one person other than myself to praise them. But first of all, before we even praise, can we thank them for hosting last week? Didn't they do, this is the praise part, didn't they do an incredible job? Incredible job. You know, Ryan and Megan, it's easy. Megan, first of all, let me start here. Megan, you are an incredible host. You know, Ryan is so gracious to always be aware, and thank you. You know, we were over recently and I just heard him say, Megan, thank you for all the work you do, but you are an amazing host. You love to host people. I know Ryan does too, but I want to just encourage you in that. I want to encourage you both that you are raising your kids well. Whatever you're feeding them, I'd like to get some because they're growing. Yeah, I don't even get near Blaine anymore because he's probably equal to me now. But you are raising such incredible kids. You love your kids well. You're trying to instill the very things that you've learned, even finances, into them. This young man already has a lawn care business. At the age of 10, Ryan, in his financial wisdom, is teaching his children, because the other two have a side hustle too going on with cans, collecting cans. So, but Blaine's got a business. He's learning financial principles. And so, guys, we just want to say well done. We praise you in being incredible hosts and incredible parents, incredible financial wisdom that you carry. So, somebody else. Anybody else want to praise them, encourage them? Can't wait a long time here. Hold on. We got to have this on recording. Come on up, Richard.
This family, when you know them, this family is a family that's full of love. That there's nothing they won't do for you. They put down whatever they're doing. They invite you to their home. They open their home. Regardless of when it is, they are just a family that is full of love.
They are. Absolutely. Okay, one more because you're the senior.
I was so blessed during COVID when you and your family made up cards and thought of the elderly in the nursing home even. You're so community-minded, and you really are an example of what the body of Christ needs to look like.
That felt pretty rough, didn't it? That was terrible. You get to walk away feeling worse, right? How do you guys feel? Very good. Does that lift your heart? You could just stay up because it's fun and you guys get used to that. So Matthew, I just want to say that, you know, there was a time a while back when we had talked and you knew that your heart, something clicked and your heart had changed. And I'll have to say from that moment, the change in your demeanor, your change in your drumming, like, just came alive. And I saw something inside of you go from, because we, you know, we used to talk about, this is not really my music, you know. Worship's okay, but he had a style of music. But then one day he's like, you know, I'm taking this on. Remember you saying, I just want to be a drummer. You even said, I want to be your drummer. And you took that on to learn songs. And you have done it with such excellence and love for drumming. And the joy that comes out of you when you do it is awesome. I recently had a day and I'm like, man, I love how Matthew drums that song. I was thinking about it over and over again. And so just well done. Thank you for doing all that you do, for serving everybody here with your drums. Thank you. Anybody else want to encourage? Not Abby. Yeah, Abby's not allowed. Josh, come on up. Of course you do.
We're in church now, people. This is church. All
right. Matthew is an amazing role model. You have always been, all the times we've talked in young adults and stuff over the years, whenever we talk about, hey, like, just spending time with God and things like that, I always know that you're doing a good job. You're always doing a good job. You're always putting God first. You're always seeking him for wisdom and big decisions and things like that. You're doing it right. And I see it. I see the time that you spend with the Lord. It's evident. And even in the times where you think you're not spending a lot of time, I know that it makes an impact in you, and God is part of your foundation. He is your foundation, and it is obvious. And I just want to commend you in that. Awesome. So
I feel good. We'll let you go back and get set up for the drums. Thank you, Matthew. I was going to say, that must be a fiance or something. So, Jeannie, I love, you know, when I get to be in the prayer room, because that's when we probably get the most interaction usually, although we've had dinner together. I love when you pray, because I've watched you listen, and you're listening to what's being prayed, and you're hearing the Lord, and when you pray, you really pray with such wisdom. I'm always amazed, like, wow, that's really, you're flowing wisdom. I know you're an author and it's come out in that way too, but I just want to bless you for just being so attuned. And I know you have to really lean in to listen, but when you do, you're catching such nuggets. And I'm like, that is powerful when you pray. And it blesses not only me, I know people have said it, that man, that was such a blessing in the prayer room today when she prayed. And so know your prayers are powerful and they're making a difference. All right, somebody else.
Jeannie, every time I see you, you have a smile on your face. You're always, and it's almost like a smile of awe, especially when I'm preaching or the odd time that I'm up there. I look at your face and it's like, I don't know what you're seeing, but there's awe and wonder in you all the time. And it just brings delight to the person preaching if they're looking at you, because they can look at you and go, oh, I'm on track. Or at least Jeannie's agreeing with me. Somebody's smiling. And when you pray with such faith. I know that you were healed before, and you said you had faith from that moment on. So if there's somebody in the room that needs prayer for healing, I'm calling on you, because you have faith for healing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. We bless you. We bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Pastor Jay, you brought a sermon 3-4 weeks ago on light. And I was listening to Bill Johnson just this morning, actually, and he brought it about a week ago, and he's speaking about wisdom. He said exactly the same things that you were saying, and you said it earlier, and ha ha. But that whole sermon, as he goes into it, I thought, this is exactly what you were bringing 3 or 4 weeks ago. So you were hearing so well from the Lord. And sometimes I know as a pastor, you go, am I really hearing God in this situation? Should this be where I'm going? Well, other people are hearing what you're hearing. And there are also voices that are speaking what you're speaking. So keep it up. Amen.
Thank you. That was unexpected. Thank you. Now, let me ask you, what just came into the room? Shout it out. Hope. Love. Encouragement. Joy.
Anticipation.
So, community. Wow, those are great words. Love. What was that?
Gratitude.
There's a scripture. I'm going to go back and forth between, and I'm not fully preaching, but I am preaching because this is boot camp. I'm going to go from both the spiritual side and the holistic side, shall we say, for body, soul, and spirit. But it's interesting that the scripture says, you are holy. This is Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Okay, so God inhabits the praises. So we're like, how could that be? Well, why did joy just come in the room? Because we spoke it out. It's interesting. We use gratitude to praise somebody, but joy was a fruit of it. Anticipation was a fruit. Hope was a fruit. Did anybody get more depressed? Maybe you anticipated going, I would love to have that sometime. And that's fair. That's great. But I don't think you went, I'm now more depressed than I was before. If you are, we will at some point pray for you. Okay. But it uplifts. So I'm saying all this and trying to give an example because we're going to go into praise. What is praise? We are doing exactly what we did here, but we're doing it to God. Now, it would be odd if I had Matthew up there and I was encouraging Matthew, but at the end I got on my knees and started to worship Matthew. Would that be odd? Yeah, of course. You don't do that with people. We do that with the Lord because he is sovereign and he is king. But praise is simply gratitude. It says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Now, we think Old Testament, and sometimes we think, well, that's old, and we throw that out. No, that actually made it through the cross, okay? It came through the cross because we have, and I'll read it a little later, we have a sign of that. When Paul and Silas are beaten, they're in prison, and what do? They're giving thanks to the Lord. They were beaten, and they were given thanks to the Lord. And there's, you know, if you know the story, there's some cool things that happened with that. So today, we're going to stand and we are going to praise. Now, how would have it felt with anybody if I called Megan and Ryan up here and I went, you guys are really great. We so, so appreciate all that you do. Yeah. I'm gonna think of something that's really important to say to you and I'm gonna say it in my head. Hope you got that. Now, God can hear our thoughts. Of course he can, but there is power. You guys are ready, and I so appreciate that. Nobody else actually followed instructions. Thank you, Bruce and Jeannie. Jeannie's still smiling. What's the point? Praise is a verbal expression. I don't have time today. I was going to go through all the praise words, but all of them, or mostly all of them, are this outward expression of praise. Praise to God is really an outward thing. That's why Psalms, which is really, if we're going to look at it, they're worship songs. It's about shouting and clapping and singing and shouting. There's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of baraking. That's a shout unto the Lord. There's a lot of tehillah, which is praise. And so when we praise today, I want to encourage you to do to God what we just did with these people. And if you don't know the song very well, you can just start going, I'm going to thank the Lord for who he is and just speak it out, not in your head. Speak it out. Amen? Boy, why would I do things so differently? Because you know how many times I preach and I'm like, if we could only go back up. But a lot of times it's too late to go back up. And by the time we go next Sunday, it's too late because we've already forgotten about it. So boot camp looks a little different. But church looks a little different than what we do today looks a little different than what we did in Acts. Well, I didn't do it in Book of Acts. I wasn't around. Some of you are closer than me. I'm just looking down. Community went right out the door. Just joking. That Harvard study that they did. What I want to, again, try to do is I want to connect what they are discovering in science with what the Word of God has said for eons. Science is simply catching up to the Word of God. The Word of God is not catching up to science. So they did a study. This is the Harvard study. This is part of the research paper that I was reading. And they took a group of people that were struggling with mental health issues, depression and anxiety. They took 410 people, and they put them into three different groups. So they were all going to go through counseling with the same counselors, but they had in three different groups. The first group, what they did was they said this. They said, what we want you to do is once a week, we want you to write a letter to somebody that you are grateful to. We want you to kind of pour out your thanks to somebody in that letter. You don't have to even send it. We encourage you to if that works. But if not, simply write out your gratefulness. The next group, they said, what we'd like you to do is we'd like you to journal the good and the bad through the week. Whatever you want, just journal. How many know if you're battling anxiety and depression, what are you going to mostly journal about? You know, the one group had a specific task. It wasn't to be negative. This group had the option, and this group did absolutely nothing. You guys know the results. 3 months in, this group, I can't remember the percentage, but it was something like light years away from these two groups. This middle group actually was worse off than the group that did nothing because they usually ruminated on their negativity, right? Because if you're given the option, a lot of times you get to write the negative thing, especially if you don't have the understanding. And part of this was just to simply go, what are the results? We've been, positive psychology has been talking about this for a long time. They wanted to go, is this true? Not only was it true for the 3 months, they found 6 months later, this group was still better off than this group. And then they did it again and they studied MRIs and found that the brain chemistry in this group was different than the other two groups. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. So what we think about affects what we become. I was going to start my message. I'm already kind of launched into it. Have you ever watched a movie? I don't know if you've ever seen one of those movies, whether it's like a plane crash or a survival, they get lost and they start walking through. And, you know, and they're walking through. A lot of times it's snow where they can see and they're trying to get through. And as they walk for hours, then they come upon footprints. And they're like, oh my gosh, humanity, there's like footprints. We found our way. And so they start following the footprints only to find out what? It's their footprints. And they've been going around that mountain. How many know, and I can attest to this, that I found lately, I've been really just thinking through my life, and I found myself following my old footprints of negativity. Wouldn't it be great if once we figure something out, it was set and locked and loaded forever? Like once you figured out how to have a glass half full that you never went back to half empty, oh my goodness, that would be great. But people of nature, and they describe it often like ruts in the ground, because those ruts are there for so long, most often we like to slide back into the ruts until we've done it for so long that those ruts they're not even there anymore. Well, going through a season of just trials and difficulties, I found myself ruminating on the negative. Well, what happens when you ruminate on the negative? Well, you change your brain chemistry. And I found myself just struggling to be joyful. Praise is so important to me because it's the time I can come in. And I'd say this way, at times, I don't have a choice because I lead. But I'm thankful for that because it forces me to go, I have to get out of this hole for the sake of everybody else. What I want to do for a few minutes, I want to write a few things to God. Because praise takes the form of many different ways. And so, Pastor Rod, if you can give me a hand, they're up here, maybe you can have a few people. We have a board that's been sitting here for a while, and I often go, Lord, what can we use that board for in different seasons? And today, as I was preparing my message in the morning, I felt like we needed to be grateful to God and to what he's done. Yeah, thank you for the lights. Because praise, that is praise. We praise by thanking him. We did it with our words. Now I want to do it with a pen and paper. And what I'd like to do, because I wanted the kids, so don't let the kids leave yet. I wanted the kids to be around just to be able to voice what they're thankful for too. And moms and dads can write it on the paper. And it can be just something that they're grateful for, but it also, I'd like you to try to get to, what am I grateful for God for? So start anywhere you want, but remember, church can be a hospital, but right now we're being a boot camp. We're training. Now you guys are all looking at me seriously, like, seriously, I came to church and I have to write something? Yes, you get to write something. So as the pen and paper comes around, what you're gonna do, I'd like you to try to find five things that you're grateful for. Again, it does not have to be just about God, because most likely they'll probably in the gratefulness come back to God anyway. But five things that you are grateful for. And I wanna remind you, this simple activity based on God's word and science changes your brain chemistry in a positive way. Amen. Okay, so five things. And what we're gonna do afterwards, we're gonna post those up here. We're gonna post them, our gratefulness. So if you don't want somebody seeing it, probably shouldn't write it, but not like everybody's gonna go and necessarily study all of it, but somebody may need encouragement and wanna go over there. So, you know, whatever you feel comfortable with writing up there. So what are five things as the pen and papers are being passed out? Five things that you are grateful for. Somebody shout out something you're grateful for. Relationship with God, my wife, smart man. Who just said something over here? Oh, well, thank you. More brownie points. I'll save you the best dessert later on, all right? After church today, we're actually, the worship team's gathering at my house. Can we just say thank you to the worship team? Are we grateful for the worship team? Try not to toot my own horn, because it's more about these people. They do so much every week, and they're faithful, and they show up. And they, you know, they're here always an hour before. You know, if we don't have a practice, that every Sunday we're here an hour before. If you add it in a practice, then it's longer, and which we haven't done in a while, but we need to. What's that? James, we got James. Angela started that on our Telegram. But how many are so grateful for James? We were thanking him the other day. He is the unseen instrument that makes us all sound good. How many are grateful for James? I know you're already writing, but how many are grateful for James? Because without James, we would all sound a lot worse than we really do, and you wouldn't be able to hear us anyway, so. Okay, I want to read a word to you. This is one of the Hebrew words. So this is the word that we get our word hallelujah from. The word hallelujah is one of the most well-known Christian words across the board that people use. The other word that people use without even knowing it is amen. I was listening to something the other day and somebody said in this thing, it was a crude comment and the other person went amen. Talk about an oxymoron. It was not even a church thing, but they were amening a biblical word meaning in agreement with something that was not biblical at all. That's how well known these words are. But halal, so let me set the stage for this word. Halal, when you go to a sports game and you see somebody that's really crazy, you know, those ones that in the middle of winter take off their shirts, paint their bodies, and they shouldn't have their shirts off because they have way too much, advertisement space. And they're the ones that are shouting in the middle of winter for their sports team. Well, this is halal. This is a biblical word from hallelujah comes from it. It is the most common word for praise. The word simply means to boast, to brag, or to rave about God, even to the point of appearing foolish. So when David danced before the Lord in his boxers, basically, you know, he was so excited. He's just flung everything and danced before the Lord. That was halal. That was foolishness before man, but honoring to God. No, don't do that. I should have clarified. It's written in here. People who attend football games and shout and scream for their favorite teams are called fans. Unfortunately, for most of us, we shout and scream. If we shout and scream and brag on God, we may be labeled as fanatics. Isn't that interesting? You get into a service and you get so thankful for God and you're like, yes, God. And you're like, whoa, tone it down. You go to a football game and they want those people up front. Right? You know, in in hockey games when, or any type of game, mostly hockey games, when you play at home and your home team cheers, the team always does better. Doesn't work so well when they boo you. Unless you're what? Did you say the Leafs? Ah, so back on track. Did you have Claude's name up there? Take it down. So what are we going to do with the next song? I want you to halal. But what we're going to do, it's called He Reigns. What I want you to understand is that we praise the Lord. And that song, Praise, was helping us to understand, man, when you ascend the mountain and you are, you know, it's a mountain in front of you, you still praise because praise will get you through. When there's a sea in front of you and you need it to part, you praise. It was reminding us of that. But I want to shift with what we just did there with the song, He Reigns. And now I want to start going, God, we're praising you for you. He reigns. We should have had a little more halal in that. We're going to praise him for him. Amen. We've just been grateful. Now we take that gratefulness and say, God, I just want to thank you for who you are. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been on praise today. Anybody feel better? Hey, look at all that thankfulness over there. That is so cool. That is so cool. I want to go back to you, and we'll take you through. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to go back to you just, and I never even thought about it until we started to speak it, but we said gratefulness. There's some gratefulness over there. We said that gratefulness, when we were praising and being grateful for the people up here, that joy, hope, anticipation entered the room. Like, just stop and think about how our words of praise to somebody brought hope, joy, and anticipation into the room. Yeah, to everyone. You know, one of the reasons why I want to, in a way, reestablish praise, because I feel like circumstances and life and just different things, and, you know, we've seen people leave and it can be downer. I want to reestablish praise because I believe people need to come in here to experience praise. Not entertainment. Understand what I'm saying. Not. I hope you didn't feel at any point we entertained today. How many felt like we praised today? I didn't, you know, if you think that's entertainment, we could do, you need a better band. We're good, but we're not that good. That was praise. We wanted to praise the Lord. And people need to walk into the presence of the Lord so they can actually, in the presence of the Lord, encounter hope, joy, and the Savior. Right? Who wants to go to a depressed church? There's not one person in here that wants to go to a depressed church? No, nobody does. Who wants to go to a joy-led, joy-filled, hope-led, hope-filled church? Me. Because if I'm struggling, I don't want to come out feeling worse about myself. Now, that doesn't mean there's conviction. Please don't understand that. That's different. But I'm talking the general sense. Even if there's conviction, you actually should still come out with hope. Right? If you feel convicted about a message, you should be able to find a place of hope because Jesus is the Savior that sets us free. Okay? Tracking with me. So let's go back to that thought that when we praised, joy entered the room. And we have the scripture that says the praises of God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise, he inhabits, he comes into the room. That's huge. Now, I want to tie this with science again. A lot of times we think, when I feel it, I will do it. What's interesting is science is proving you do it so you can feel it. So every morning, this is really cool. A lot of this is from Caroline Leaf. Every morning when you wake up, you have new cells and neurons ready to be put into action. Right? Did you know that, you know, have you ever... Sorry to gross you out. Have you ever cleaned, you know, your bed, you've taken off your sheets and your mattress and you see that little flaky stuff and you realize, oh, that's my skin cells. Anybody ever experienced that? Come on, everybody has. Either that or you've never cleaned. Then you probably should go do it. Skin cells leave your body because new ones are formed every day. It takes a lot before you have a pile like that, you know, or dust. But in your brain, the same thing is happening. You have new cells every day that are formed. It's interesting that God says his mercies are new every morning. And Caroline Leaf and different scientists have realized that those cells can be put into action, and what you do with them will determine what happens. Okay, so let's back up a second. We had that group that wrote thank you letters just like we did, and they did it for a month, every week, one a week, and not only did they feel better, their brain chemistry changed. Now we have this understanding that you have cells that can be put into practice. What was happening? That as they were becoming grateful, their cells were actually reshaping. This is what Caroline Leaf says. She said, research shows that 75 to 98% of mental, physical, and behavioral illness comes from one's thought life. The staggering eye-opening statistic means that only 2 to 25% of mental and physical illness come from environment or genes. 2 to 25% comes from environment or genes. And she goes into her book, if you ever read her material, she is not saying that there, you know, sometimes we have genetic predispositions, but her point is that you can actually change that. You could actually shift that. That doesn't actually have to, you know, people will say, well, so-and-so, my family's always had this problem. Well, it doesn't have to be you. Because God is not only our healer, he's created our bodies to actually work with us. Okay, so brain chemistry changes. We have new cells every morning. What if, so often people will say, well, I praise because God will make me praise, or I will praise when I feel like praising. And what he's actually, science is saying, when you praise, your chemistry changes, and then you actually feel like praising even more. But a lot of times we want, I want to praise when I feel it. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know, like 99 to 100% of the time, I praise before I feel it, until I feel it, and then I really want to praise. We live in a society, the reality is we want things to be a quick fix. I would love things to be a quick fix. Anybody else? And I'm learning more and more that this is why I want you to understand, like, that whole understanding of like a boot camp. Because God wants us to be trained. And you know, let's go to war. He doesn't want us to be trained for war. He wants us to be trained so we can be whole. And training to be whole sometimes takes activity. My dad has worked out all his life, 88 years old. He looks good, doesn't he, for 88? He can still walk the dog and run if he has to. He was a little run the other day, we were camping. Why? Because he's worked his body and exercised all his life to keep it healthy. So part of what we need to understand is there's a training that happens with the Lord. And the Bible, you know, we read it and we think, oh, it's just, you know, those are good words. No, he's training us. Let me give you an example. Turn to Philippians. You guys know this verse well. You should know this verse well. I'm sure you know it well. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. You know, talking about boot camp, Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. If you think about people that climb Mount Everest, if they want to ascend Mount Everest, do they go, do they get there and go right to the top, to the ascent? No, what do? They, what's really interesting is the hike to get to boot camp is like a really long hike. You don't get driven in. You don't really get flown in. A lot of, you know, if you're wealthy, maybe, but what they would say is you're kind of missing the point, because we start hiking down here, and even boot camp, I don't know how many thousands of feet above sea level it is, but they're acclimatizing when they get to boot camp right off the bat. So they're strengthening themselves, they're getting there. When they get to boot camp at Mount Everest, do you know what they do for like 4 weeks? They train, they climb, they come back down. They go through the ice fields, they come back down. They go a little higher, they come back down. They keep training, and every time they push themselves a little higher, they're acclimatizing, because you cannot ascend Mount Everest unless you have acclimatized. So part of what we want, you know, we want to be a church that we can grow and grow more in the Lord, but also have healthier lives and healthier bodies. And I am discovering that a lot of this has to do with what I do, with what's around me. Tracking with me? Philippians 4, verses 4 to 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. How often? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I wrote this. I've written this, or I've said this before. If God inhabits the praises of his people, who inhabits or is enthroned in our complaints? Man, last little while, I've complained a lot. And I wonder who's just been enthroning himself in those complaints. Like I said, I found myself finding those footprints thinking I was escaping only to be going around the mountain again because I was doing the same thing again, hoping for different results. And that's called insanity. I have to do something different if I want different results. But I was going back to complaining, hoping I'd find joy. I was looking at all the negative and it doesn't work. So it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, if it wasn't enough the first time, he's like, I got to write this a second time. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul was probably in prison writing this because he wrote most of his letters in prison. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, catch this, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's going to be really key. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Well, I was going around the mountain, so I was doing one of these. Finally, brethren, whatever things are in the news, whatever things are on your news feed, whatever things pop up in Twitter, whatever things happen, you know, every climate change in your weather app, meditate on those things. But you know what? We can all do that. Meditate on the gossip at the water cooler. Meditate on the, you know, whatever it is. And how many know that most of the time, those are not uplifting things? That Harvard study, let me tell you the, so interesting. They said this, if I can find it. Cultivating gratitude. These are the things that Harvard recommends. Write a thank you note. We did that today. Thank someone mentally. If you can't actually get to them, it's still good to even mentally thank them. Why? Because it's changing your brain chemistry. Can you believe that? Mentally thanking someone in your brain is changing your brain to be happier. Right. Somebody caught that. Count your blessings. Wow. Here's the last two. From Harvard, pray and meditate. Wow. Harvard realizes that if you meditate on good things, just like Paul said in Philippians, that your brain chemistry will change. You don't wait for it to happen, you actually make it happen. So let's add that to our whole story here. You wake up in the morning, you got these new cells and neurons ready to be put into action. If the first thing you do, which I was getting into habit of doing, if the first thing you do is catch the news, those neurons are being put into action, those cells. Are they positive or negative? What do you think? They're going to be negative because it's all negative news. It's all negative information. So if I'm struggling with depression or anxiety, and that was beginning to build, and I'm like, I want to get out of this. So let's take my new brain cells and read something negative every day. What am I doing? I'm going around the mountain. Or, so what did I have to do? I had to get diligent because I tried to be disciplined. Discipline didn't work. It was like calling my name. I don't know. Negativity attracts. If it didn't, news would be positive. Disasters and all that attract your brain. So I had to delete my news apps because I was getting the feed. So I completely deleted it. I had to be diligent. So now when I wake up, I'm back to let the first cells of my brain be put to work with something positive. Harvard backs what Paul said. Has anybody tracking with me? I got one tracking with me. Philippians said, guard your hearts and minds. I want to run through this and then we'll begin to wrap things up. Turn to Romans. This is a scripture I've mentioned many times, but I always go back to this and marvel. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 20. So Philippians said, if you do these things, if you rejoice always, if you set your mind on good things, on pure things, on holy things and all that, if you set your mind, it will guard your heart and mind when you set your mind on these things. In Romans 1, it says this, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." I love it. People go outside, if you go to the Rockies, it's clearly seen how magnificent he is. We've got a new telescope, folks. It's not the Hubble, it's now the, come on, no science geeks in here? It's a new telescope. The pictures that are getting back are incredible because it's so much better than the Hubble. So to me, it's like, how do you not believe in God? What do you think, these things just appeared? Anyway, the visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. So God is basically going to say at some point, if they die not knowing, they're going to say, listen, like, you were a scientist, for Pete's sake. You saw the glories of the heavens. How could you not believe in me? That's kind of my paraphrasing. But verse 21 is key, because although they knew God, so now he's talking about people like us. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And he's going to go on to list all the things that can happen if you are not thankful, grateful, and praising him. And this is crazy, because the list, I thought, Lord, you're literally saying, if you are not grateful for who I am, all these things will follow. And he goes through the list, verse 28, "They did not liken to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, of inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those things." What is my point? Now, I want to really, really address the young people in here. He's saying when we're not thankful, when we're not grateful, all these things could, the futility of our mind, we're not guarding our mind and we can become futile. Remember, we talked about the foundation, and he says, you're like salt. And I referenced that salt and futility go together. It's like, he's not saying he's going to cast us out. What he's saying is when we become futile in our mind, we find ourselves in places we don't want to be. And then the world literally can trample us. Why do I say that? You know, when the Bible was written, let's take it right back to the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not covet. When you think about the Ten Commandments, when that was written, we're talking about people that live either in dwellings, in, you know, stone buildings. A lot of them were traveling tent, like they would pick up and go to the next area because they were feeding their animals. And God says, don't covet. They certainly wore like the full clothing. So he's like, don't covet your neighbor's wife. And I'm thinking, I don't even hardly know my neighbor's wife. Like, I can't even see her. She's so far down the road. Well, now we have a day and age where, let's take it a little bit further, and we live in subdivisions. And so we live in subdivisions where we can see everything. You know, you can peek over your neighbor's fence, and you can begin to go, look what they have that I don't have. Right? Come on. Has anybody ever had that moment where you see somebody has a nicer car than you, and you get a little covet in you? Oh, you are so holy, you people. Well, somebody admit, I have. I wish I had my neighbor's pool. You wish you had your neighbor's pool. When it's a real feel of 109 or 40, whatever. I know I'm more American because I'm by the border, but man, it's nice to have a pool, right? We have all had it. We can all look around us and see. So now we begin to covet. And when you covet, are you thankful? No, you're not thankful. When you covet, you are not thankful. You begin to take your eyes off God. You begin to take your eyes off. So in this sense, it says, do not covet your neighbor's wife. So I now take my eyes off my wife. I'm not grateful. And I begin to look at somebody else. And now the futility from not being grateful begins to set in. Now, young people, I want to share something with you. You guys know this already. You guys have it to such another level. It's crazy. I feel bad. I really do, because as much as I touch this stuff, your generation lives in it. So we went from having dwellings that were like a ways away and people are fully clothed and you're gonna covet them for some reason. Then we get into close proximity with subdivisions, but now we have things called Snapchat, you know, Instagram and all these things. And what happens, and I'm not downplaying that because I think there's some great things in it, but this is what happens. We begin to look at pictures, not from our neighbors. We look at the neighbors around the world. We get to see the trips that they've been on. We get to see the clothes that they wear. We get to see everything about their life. And we don't then look at our life and be grateful because anybody on, like, you could find somebody on Instagram or Snapchat all over the place that has something better than us. And here's the crazy thing. Our minds move from thankfulness and praising for what we have, and now we move to coveting somebody that we don't even know because they're an influencer. Now they have influence. What's interesting is they find out there's, not just to say this is the only reason, but it's interesting that there have been a lot of influencers that have committed suicide. Why? Because they're trying to stay ahead of the game and they're battling the exact same thing that you're battling. So what's God's point is he's saying when we become futile in our thoughts, when we don't guard ourselves, when we don't stay thankful for what we have and think on those things that are amazing and pure and holy and things that we're grateful for, our minds will become futile and we'll start wanting something that should never be ours and we fall into, you know, the story of the prodigal son, the pig pen. Only to find ourselves going, why do we want to even be here? So where does it start? What's my point? It starts with, if you jump on in the morning and you're jumping on things that are feeding you and you are longing for something, you are literally creating in your mind anxiety and depression. Because I was. Does it mean it's the cure-all when you do all these things? No. But I'll tell you, it's probably 98% of the game. It's a tough world when these people meaning are young adults and youth, that is their realm for communication. And my heart is to say, Lord, how do we help them? Like, it would be easy to go, oh, just get off Instagram. Well, you're telling them to get off their whole world. Get off Snapchat. That's my whole world. But what we have to do is go, how do we teach them? How do we teach us? For me, it was the news. And the news was changing the brain chemistry of my mind. And I was finding myself not being grateful, but I was finding myself complaining. And it was changing the chemistry of my mind. You guys tracking? So praise isn't just something we do because God demands it. It's literally something he goes, listen, I am your Lord God. Praise me. It is so important to praise him. But he's also saying, listen, there are some real things at work here when you don't praise me. I love that God does that. Listen, you know, you take the cross, you know, just do it because I'm holy and that's the way to heaven. But man, the benefits that come with it, amen. Right? It's like, you need to receive me. That's the only way. That's the only ticket to heaven. But man, the benefits that come with it are going to blow your mind. Yeah, there'll be some challenges, but the benefits that come with it. So it's the same with praise. Listen, praise me because I'm sovereign and I'm good and I'm holy. But listen, you don't realize it because science is catching up. But listen, you're changing the brain chemistry of your brain. You're changing. It literally says this. It says your DNA reshapes itself as you praise. That's why it says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why? Because literally what you think and do and praise is reshaping your DNA. These are not me and my words. These are scientists. Way smarter than me that have the ability to look into your brain through scans and go, holy cow, look at when they're grateful, their brain is changing. Isn't that awesome? Did I get all the praise out of you early and now we're all quiet? Awesome. Just want to make sure I caught everything. It says this, we produce our state of mind through through our thoughts. You produce your state of mind through your thoughts. It is the hardest thing to do when you don't feel like thinking positive to think positive. What I had to do, I had to have a place to go to in my season, what, 6, 7 years ago. I wrote out pages of things that I read every day because I didn't feel like it. And if I had to think of those things, I would have said two of them and given up. But every day I go to that same page. Some days it's like we started with, you know, God loves me. I'm healthy. No, you're not. I am healthy. I literally would have to battle. You know, we talk about a war. That is the war. When you are not healthy and you look at words and you go, God is making me healthy. God is my healer. And you start to declare those scriptures, you are at war. You're at war with your mind and you're at war with the devil. That's the war. I don't have to No, I'm going to state the truth. God is my healer. God is my healer. I literally would close my eyes and I would pretend, I know this is going to sound weird, but this is what I had to do. I would pretend that I was traveling through my body because at the time with all that going on, my digestive tract was a complete mess. And so to the best of my limited knowledge of the human body, I'd be like, my stomach is healed. I declare healing and peace through my stomach. And I'd go through parts of my body and declare healing and peace. Well, I'll promise you this. I didn't always wake up feeling healed, but I can tell you I walked away feeling better. And it's so many things that began to connect in that season. I was at my physiotherapist, and we were talking about my nervous system. My hands would shake, and it was horrible. Man, I wanted a pill to make it better, right? I wanted that. Get me out of this situation. And we're talking, and she's adjusting and stretching and all that stuff. You know, I went from hospital to therapy. And I was never in the hospital. I was using my hospital boot camp. Got me? Okay. But she's the one that actually said, Jay, you realize that your spinal cord neurons change every day and you have to reset them. Right now they are set and they will reproduce constantly like this. You actually have to, and she's not a Christian. You have to bring peace by doing things that you're doing so you can begin to reset your nervous system. You mean you're telling me what the Bible's saying? I never said it that way. But she was. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And I was ruminating, just like I was getting into that pattern again, of everything that was negative. And then you get into catastrophic thinking, and it's this downward spiral. So let me close with my point. Every time we come in here and we praise, we are not only enthroning the Lord to come in to be able to do what he can do, you are also changing your body chemistry and makeup at the same time. How cool is that? Let me say it one more time. When we enthrone the Lord, he can come in and do things that your body chemistry cannot change. Like those healings that we desperately need, he can come in and do that through the praises of his people. But he's also through the praises of his people adjusting who you are at the same time. Like that's a win-win scenario, right? Amen. But it is boot camp because if you sit there and go, I will worship when I feel like it, you're missing the point. You worship until you feel like it. Amen. Why don't you stand? So with all that, we do have baskets here. He forgot. He's like, I did the offering, but I forgot to take up the offering. So we'll do it this way. We can do it as we leave today. We're just changing the scenario. It's all right. Changing the scenario. So as you leave today, you can come and drop anything in. I would encourage you this week, let's do what Harvard suggested. Why doesn't everybody this week take the challenge to write one thank you note to somebody, somewhere? Right? You can text it, which is cool. You know, you don't have to snail mail. You could drop it off. You can text it. You know, somebody in here, Ange, you texted me the one day. Just loved on me. Well, that made my day better. Like right off the get-go, I'm like, heck, my day is better already. Woo! course it makes you feel better. But the cool thing is, my point is that it made her feel better for writing it. And that's the point. Amen. Lord, I thank you for all the praise that we got to give you today. I thank you that we got to encourage, we got to praise each other, we got to thank each other. Lord, I thank you that you've built our bodies so incredible that when we focus on you and praise you, you change us. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, I thank you that even today we were renewing our mind. And as we go home, Lord, I pray that that would continue, that we would thank you, that we'd look around and not see what we don't have, but we'd look around and see what we do have. Father God, I pray that as we walk through and the relationships we have, even before we get out of the foyer, out of the building, that we'd be grateful for those that are around us. And Lord, we just again, we say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being here today. Would you bless everyone here, Lord? I bless them as their pastor. I pray you would bless them as their father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.